If we, if humanly possible, if we had to give something, I'd give it on Prouty before I'd give it on telephone, because I just think you set a bad, a terrible example. Now, I talked to John Sparkman today, and he had voted against us on the Prouty thing yesterday. I said, now, you, of course, support the conference board. You know it's going to be taken out. He said, oh, yes, I'll support it. Now, I rather think that they ought to just say, now, we're up against this terrible trouble. This bill raises... we speed up the withholding and so forth. That's just 1 year. But all this does, this bill, is raise $1.2 billion. Now, we've taken $1.2 billion out. Now, we doubt that $1.2 billion is enough. We want to wait and see what the defense bill is. But we know we got to have $1.2 billion because we still got a deficit with $1.2 billion. And we think the best way is these taxes that were scheduled to go off, just not letting them go off from here on out. Now, we can't take this Prouty Amendment, and we can't take his telephone. Now, John, will you stay with us? If we bring a conference back, we're both of them out. Mm-hmm. And then go right down the list and get the best ones, the weakest ones first, the ones that are most likely to stay with us. Dick Russell, I don't think, will. He'll vote against conference board because he's running. And that's key, but we ought to take the 20. There ought to be 20 people in there. And we ought to ask Dirksen to just go see how many he will see. Now, have you been asking Dirksen anything about the tax bill that given me standby authority? I haven't.
No, sir.
I never heard of it.
Never a breath of that has come from everybody. And in the Senate Finance Committee hearings, when McCarthy asked me how we would feel about it, I took the contrary position that it would not be necessary or desirable, and we had quite a little debate about it. No, it's on the public record, and there's never been any squint from anybody here. That as a matter of fact, all they have to do is read the damn editorials in the New York Times, which give us hell about once a week because we don't ask for it. It's perfectly ridiculous.
I think you ought to go and see him in the morning. Say, now listen, Senator, we do not know what we'll have to raise. I told Dirksen we didn't have any idea that we would have to look at it. We'd have to see what McNamara's figures were, but no one could tell at this stage. And I just say that is our position. Now, don't get the country worried here that we want this, because President Johnson never has asked for it and has refused to ask for it.
Well, he's just making that a standby thing. He's flogging a dead horse. As far as any discussions about a further tax bill, the only discussions I've had with any senator are in the public record before, in the open hearing before the Senate Finance Committee. And you know what I did there. I just said I don't know whether we're going to need it or not. It'll depend upon future developments. And there are two future developments. One, whether we'll need more money in Vietnam, which we don't know now that we will. Number two, what happens to this to the president's budget? If Congress, I didn't put it this way, but I put it politely, that if the Congress, action of the Congress shows that there's going to be a substantial exceeding of the president's budget, that would be an additional consideration. But all I've said on this to them and to Senator Dirksen is right on the public record.
All right, well, I would be sure to make clear to him tomorrow that, number one. Number two, I just say, now, how many of these people, Senator, can you get to support the conference board? Because we've got to take these two things out. Otherwise, it'll be laughing stock here for you all to be against inflation. And it'll be a laughing stock here if you talk about wanting to balance the budget and try to raise our revenue if we can't do it on these little telephone tax. And if we're going to take care of all the old folks now, and see how many he can get. Now, my judgment is he could get you five additional ones. My judgment is that you could probably get 10 Democrats that would go with you.
Great.
And that would give you a margin of 7 or 8. I think I'd just work on it, and the quicker you do it, the better, because this dead horse laid around here, I just can't tell you, I think it was poorly, poorly managed. I don't want to fuss at Wilbur. I don't want to fuss at Mansfield. Nobody can do it. But the delays that occurred, waiting over from Thursday to Monday till Gore could go make some speeches, and just all these things, it just allowed everybody to lobby everything they could, and we just sat here like a bull in a Mexican bull ring. They're throwing darts at us and bleeding and just screwing us to death. And God Almighty, I've just been pleading. I wished I could just spend 1 hour as leader and have old man Rayburn for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't let things like this happen with majorities like this. And of all this, Simpleton Hartke. Christ, he is a simpleton. And just think, the Secretary of the Treasury and the President and the Majority Leader and the Minority Leader, and let Hartke beat him. So what we got to do is, I'm willing to throw every bit of my staff and myself into it if they'll give me the names. I can't do it, though, when they tell me it's 5931.
Well,
I'm not up there, and I don't think it, but it's rather beneath the dignity of the President to be walking up down the corridors. But by God, I'll do it if this is the way my tax bill's going to be handled. I shudder to think what's going to happen to a $10 billion one. And Joe and Mike Manitos better get off of their ass and get to talking to these individuals and look them in the eye and then judge whether they tell them the truth or not. Because,
this is what I wanted to mention to you.
Well, I can get Oliver Quayle to make better polls than we got.
I've made a list here of, and I think there was some running out on commitments here. Now, I've made a list of 11 fellows to whom I was assured by a responsible person that they were all right on the excise
tax. Let me tell you something, Joe.
Excise tax.
I don't remember a senator that ever lied to me in 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people make judgments, and somebody's courteous with you, and you go up to him, and he say, oh, don't you worry, everything's all right, and you write it down as a commitment. But I got commitments from senators of both parties for 8 years, and I never got beat on one vote, number one, and number two, I never had one lie to me. So some people misunderstand. They take a smile for a commitment, or they take courtesy or Chesterfield attitude as the willingness to go along. And the fellow may want to convey that impression. I frequently, when I have to turn the fellow down here, I want to be nice to him, and I just don't say, hell no. I just say, well, let me look into it, and I think we can work that out. Then we go write a commitment. That's inexperience. That's the way you charge that up to. We never had that in the Bobby Baker days.
No, we just didn't dump them.
We didn't miss them one vote. So let's get the names. Who are the 11 men?
Let me give them to you. Bartlett, for one.
All right.
Manitos thought he had him.
Well,
Burdick and Bird of West Virginia, those three. Now, then on Eastland, True Davis is an inexperienced man, and
yes.
I'm going to check on True on that and find out just how hard his evidence was. Metcalf, Bowman, and Barr had the very definite impression that he would stay with us on excises all the way.
Did he commit to?
That was the way they put it to me. Now, Gaylord Nelson, both. Here's one I've got to make a separate judgment about. Califano talked to him, and the vice president talked to him.
I wouldn't depend on either one of them. I wouldn't give you 5 cents to any commitment Hubert ever got. So just remember that.
All
it's
right.
Lifetime.
Okay.
It's just like quoting me a Mexican general.
Yeah, okay.
He just smiles and talks and begs to him, but they ain't worth a damn.
Now then, on.
Joe Barr don't need anybody to do this. He's served up there. He knows these 100 men, and hell, this is his major assignment this year. I wouldn't be missing Califano. Now, Jake Jacobson knows. If Jake Jacobson tells you something, Marvin Watson, they've been in these back alleys with him and picked up the beer bottles the next morning. But Califano, he doesn't know beef and bull's foot. I wouldn't, to quote him, I almost make you give me a hat.
Yeah, well, now then. Four others.
Did they think they had Nelson, Califano?
They thought they had Nelson. That's right. Humphrey and Califano. I had both of their names down, and I'm definitely under the impression that Humphrey told them that Nelson would be all right.
Okay.
Now I won't say that Joe said that because I haven't talked to him, and I don't.
Well, Humphrey, don't
know that Califano talked to him, but I don't know what impression he got.
Go ahead.
Don Russell. Joe Bowman thought definitely Don was good. Now, I know Don. Don's an honorable man as ever came down the pike. I charge that up to to either inexperience
or
misunderstanding.
You just charge it up to inexperience. Tell Joe Bowman to get on the ball now.
All
he's
right.
had enough apprenticeship around here now, that he's had a year.
The next one was John Stennis, and both Manitos and Barr had the feeling that John Stennis
that ain't good enough, Joe.
I know.
We can't run this government on the feeling. Now, Westmoreland, hell of a shape. He's operating on feeling.
Now, Pete Williams of New Jersey, Barr had a definite understanding with Pete that he'd be all right on excise taxes. And you know, when a fella kind of forthcoming said, I'll be with you all the way, you don't go back and check him and check him and check him. Now, that's another one I want to pin down exactly what happened. Then Young of Ohio told Mike that he would be with him if it made the difference. Now, my impression is that Young waited until the end, and when he saw that the margin was 47 to 41, he figured his vote wouldn't make the difference, and therefore he went the other way. So there's some excuse there. Now, of course, Ribicoff had indicated very definitely that he'd be with us on this, but he just got sore after we beat him, and he's the 12th one, or the 11th one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th one.
Well, now, I would think you got a chance to get Bartlett. I don't know, maybe you haven't, but I think you got a chance to get Bartley. I think you got a good chance to get Eastland. I wouldn't trust Burdick as far as I could throw my thing. If you go to Bird and ask him to help you and you want some help from him, I think if Bird told you, you could count him. I think he's a possibility. I wouldn't trust Metcalf at all, R. Nelson at all. Don Russell's the thing you ought to work on yourself. And don't send a boy to mail. John Stennis the same way, and just say this is serious business. You're a responsible man, Senator Stennis. And if we can't get a little taxes that we repealed last year to go another year or two for our boys out there, well, I don't know how we're going to fight this war.
Right.
I just don't know what to do now. And you want to bomb everything from Peking on. And we just got to see. Now, if we take these out in conference, can you help us? Pete Williams, I think, is a possibility, and you ought to call Dick Hughes and ask him if he's got...
I know Pete. I'll go on the line with him.
I don't know about Young or Ribicoff. Now, I wouldn't... Burdick or Metcalf or Nelson.
I think we better leave Abe alone. But
yeah.
I think he's sore. He's been beaten twice, and this was a pretty bad one. Now, this Ribicoff thing held up pretty well on the count and the commitments. The excise, this telephone thing, is the first time in my whole experience, which doesn't anything like yours, but anyway, it stretches over the last 5 years, that I've seen anything like this happen. And I don't know whether of course, when we poll, we can't poll them on every possible variation. Well, they were polled on, will you stay with us on excises? And that was the question. Hartke played it cute. I don't know who was advising him, but by putting this what seemed to be a very limited aspect of it in the most sympathetic light, whether these fellows that had said, yes, I'll be with you all the way, felt they had a free ride on this one, I don't know. To me, it would not wash. If I told a fellow I was going to be with him on excises and this amendment came up, I would consider that I was committed to vote against it.
We're going to have another tax bill and a good juicy one. We might as well get ready for it. And the best way to get this experience for Bowman Barr and you and me too, four of us, we had to spend all of our time. We wouldn't have to see but 25, and that's mighty easy. I saw that many today. I've had that many appointments just coming in and out with every damn Boy Scout Easter ceremony in the world. So all we need to do, I think, is just realize that here's 100 men, and the first one you ought to work on is Dirksen with his Republicans, and look over every man that voted against you on Prouty and every man that voted against you on Hartke, and say, now, how many of these men can you get to support a conference report with this out of there? And I want you to go talk to them, Senator, and I want to come back and talk to you.
Now, can I tell you one other thing that bothers me?
Yeah.
This whip organization in these assistant whips in the Senate, I have two comments to make on that, born out of this experience. Number one, two of them didn't help us. They didn't vote with us on any of these key issues. That's Brewster and Hornster.